Thank you for downloading this episode of the Football Purist Podcast. For more episodes, go to www.footballpurist.com and you can also find us at iTunes.
Back this week with another Talk On episode. We're going to be doing the Liverpool versus Everton preview this upcoming weekend. But there's a lot of huge games left in the Premier League before the season ends that can really influence the top four race. This match against Everton is definitely one of those. It can be classified probably as our last big game of the season in terms of us going against the top eight. I do believe we play West Brom still, but in terms of really affecting the top four race, this is the last team. And even though it is the last one, it kind of feels like from here on out for the rest of the season, every game is going to be our most important game because it's going to be a tight race. We're 5 points ahead, but we know that Arsenal and Man U have a couple games in hand. So as long as we keep picking up points in front of them, it's going to put the pressure on them behind. And just some other games also that need to happen that don't include us between the big teams before the end of the year. You got Arsenal versus City, Spurs versus Arsenal, Arsenal versus Man U, Arsenal versus Everton, Chelsea versus City, City versus United, United versus Everton, Spurs versus United, Chelsea versus Spurs, and Arsenal versus Spurs. So there's actually a lot of points there to be dropped, and that's what the hope is, obviously, is for those teams to make each other lose points so we can really lock up that top four spot. And so to talk about the Everton game, the last kind of big game for us tonight, we have Jeff Hallett and Chase Hayslip. Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm great, Joey. How are you?
Doing well. Jeff, how you doing? How's the weather over there, guys? Nice.
Beautiful.
LA and San Francisco. I'm sure it's pretty nice out.
Yeah, 70 degrees again in Southern California. Great to be back.
I was just there actually in LA this past week, and then I came right back to Chicago right into some rain. So
you're like, way too warm out here. I'm going to go back and freeze.
Yeah, pretty much. March, you never know what the hell is going to happen in March over here. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into the intro question. Guys, you got to pick three players on this Everton squad, given that they're all healthy. So you can take in, you know, I know they're a little banged up right now, but given the fact that, or let's just say hypothetically that all of them are healthy, you have to pick three of their players to go into our starting 11 right now. Who would they be, Chase?
Yeah, so I just want to say that I love the Derby week. It's like one of my favorite weeks of the year. I think most Liverpool fans, when they open up the calendar, the first thing they look for is the United game. But I always look for the Everton game because I think it is way more exciting and way more hilarious just in general, the breakdown of Everton fans after their hope is inevitably crushed after we win. So the Van Buren boys, when we were kicking, we always love to take the piss out of Everton. And so I will do it again here and say I would take none of them. I'd rather play with eight players. I'd probably put like a trash can in the goal. You know what I mean? Like a traffic cone at
we
left
sort of
and right back,
have
and just
one,
see.
But that's our...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The preview for conversations to come, and just rough it and see if we can't scrap away a victory nonetheless.
Put a cow maybe out there, just get a big body to fill some space, something like that.
You know what's funny? If we did that, I feel like Everton fans would just be on Twitter the whole week, being like, "This is our opportunity. We are going to kick ass." And then something would happen, and they would invariably lose. Like the most heartbreaking way possible. It would be fantastic.
All right. Well, fair answer, I suppose. Chase just taking zero Everton players. What about you, Jeff? Who do you got?
He's classic to cover outside the lines. So I felt that the instructions were literal. So I, unfortunately, same tendency. I don't want to pick any of them. But Barkley, got to pick him in the attacking mid. And Scouser through and through admit, you know, there were some rumors that he was interested in a move to Liverpool, but those have been squashed in recent years. Koeman coming in, getting the franchise on the right foot, better ownership. But he admits to studying Coutinho, which I like, you got to respect. So Stevie G told him to remain at Everton. So he's like a one-team guy. There's some connection there. The other two, I would have taken, of course, Seamus prior to the injury, that horrible injury with the leg last week. Just you feel for the guy as much as you can in a derby week. And then Ashley Williams, just because we've had so much trouble in the back line or center backs. He's clearly superior to anything that we have. And looking forward to the transfer season.
Yeah, right. I mean, it just sparks that little thought of who we're going to be getting. But anyways, yeah, I'd go right to a 4-2-3-1. I love our attack, but you can't not take Lukaku for me. So he'd go up top, and then you have Phil, Bobby, and Mane behind him, Genie and Emre in midfield, and then I'd take Ashley Williams paired with Matip, and then Coleman on the right side with Klein on the left, and then probably Karius. But anyways, yeah, those are the three I'd take would be Seamus, Lukaku, and Ashley Williams, just because that's what we struggle with big time, although, you know, you never want to even think about taking those. But, you know, I think Lukaku's definitely not going to be coming back next season, so it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. And we'll go ahead and just, since we just mentioned Coleman, let's go ahead and get into it. That was just a horrific injury that he suffered versus Wales, and you hate to see that happen. It doesn't matter who the player is, you know, what team he plays for. You never want to wish upon, you know, that injury upon any type of player for any type of club. And, you know, he's going to struggle to come back. Those injuries, I mean, that takes a lot out of you. And it takes, he's probably going to be out for all of next season, I would think, maybe comes back near the end of it. But having said that, I'm not going to say it doesn't feel good to have him out for the weekend, though. You know what I mean? Because Holgate's going to come in, and I'm not sure how well he's going to perform. What do you guys have to say about that injury?
I have a question about the injury, actually. If I walked outside my apartment right now and did that to a stranger on the street, do you guys think I'd go to prison? What Gareth Bale did to James Cole?
You get sued, that's for sure.
Tough to say, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was... I just hate watching those injuries. Doesn't matter what sport.
Oh, it's awful.
Just like seeing the leg just completely, like, just yes. Looks like it's hanging there. So,
I'm sitting here with a barf bag. It's that bad.
It was a nasty one, that's for sure. But I mean, you know, in terms of the game, it's definitely going to help us, obviously, because he's arguably one of the best right backs in the league, and that means Holgate comes in, the youngster, and I think that's Coleman's been having a really nice relationship with Barkley when he's been down the right-hand side this season. And I think this is hopefully something that Coutinho can take advantage of. Chase, I know you're a big Brazil guy. Coutinho just had a wonderful goal for them just yesterday. I think that's going to be good for his confidence coming back into a big game like this. We'll go ahead and get to them later, to our boys. But in terms of that defense, guys, there's also another injury that just happened yesterday. And that was Funes Mori. It looks like he has some meniscus, like a little bit of a meniscus tear, it looks like, or just some type of damage. I'm not exactly sure what the results say. I just know that they said he's going to be out for about a month, and that was when he was playing Bolivia. So that means Jagielka is going to start. Of course, we all remember the moment that Jagielka had against us in the draw, the 1-1 draw with the late strike. But, I mean, he doesn't have legs really anymore. I mean, I think we can also take advantage of that, even though he is a very experienced player. I think that Mane can get at him, and I think that their entire back line, you know, is going to be pretty slow this weekend. So in terms of their back line and maybe how we can take advantage, what are you guys thinking so far, Chase?
Yeah, I think it does pose a really, really interesting question to see how we line up, right? Because they've got such a slow back line, as you noted. Obviously, I think you're going to have to let Mane off the leash, right? And let him get in behind as much as possible, which I think is going to be – that will be our objective no matter what. I think the one thing that's worth thinking about, right, is like Coutinho played really well for Brazil, as we were just talking about, and we'll get into it in more detail later. But he, like for Brazil, although he played on the right, he, if you look at his heat map, he dropped into the midfield a lot in the second half. And I just wonder – you know, with Lallana out, I wonder if it makes sense to drop Coutinho in and put someone with pace up top. Although now that I'm saying that, I don't even know. Do we have anyone that could?
Origi on the left.
That's a good thought. I think just because they have so much, you're right. They're carrying a lot of years on the back line. And I wonder if we don't try to drop Coutinho in the midfield, because he can play those passes in behind all day, as we've seen in the past, right?
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Jeff, anything to add about, you know, us taking advantage of this defense that they're putting out here this weekend?
Well, I open with, for all the goodwill that we built up with the Seamus injury and felt bad for the player, with Funes Mori, fucking cunt, who cares, right? Good for him.
Yeah, I'm not stamp
on Origi. Yeah, stamp on Origi was a little bit more impactful.
Just points to the badge after that. Like, yeah, that was
disgraceful. Off you go. So, yeah, just as you had mentioned, the speed, we got to get Mane, he had a fantastic game. The 1-0 at Goodison, you know, he was obviously scored the winner and was mostly free down the right side for most of the match. So I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be probably torch Baines in this one. And I know nothing about the backup for Funes Mori, but I would imagine they're going to struggle back there. So it's all about link up play. It's all about getting that forward motion. And I think Liverpool will come out with a good result.
Yeah, let's hope so. So we'll move ahead like a little bit forward in the midfield now for Everton. And just, I mean, they have even more injuries. Morgan Schneiderlin looks like he's out for, I think, 3 to 4 more weeks. He picked up a calf injury against Hull City. And he was started playing really, really well for them. I thought he was a big pickup for Everton. It was just only a matter of time before he kind of made that midfield position his own again, like he had at Southampton. And so with him being injured, and as well as James McCarthy, who picked up a hamstring injury, you know, he declared himself fit for the Ireland game, but it looks like he got injured in training. So while on international duty, so it leaves Gareth Barry in the middle. And while Gareth Barry's experienced, he is very, very slow. Like that back five right now, they're probably going to have Gay sitting there as well. So that'll probably help pick up some speed and some tackling. But just in terms of that back five, I think they're going to really struggle for pace and I mean, is it, I mean, Chase, is it, you know, Gareth Barry's going to bring maybe a little bit more experience, maybe to their game. And that might be what they need right now.
You know, if I were an Everton fan, obviously I would be missing Schneiderlin relative to Gareth Barry, but I do think that for his age and given his experience, I don't think that, I mean, it's not cataclysmic for them, right?
You know, and
I mean,
he's played in these games before too. And
totally.
He's one of the players that really knows what this game means to that city and that team too.
Totally. No, I completely agree. You know, I think the stuff with the back line, I mean, that could be, we could watch that be a major decider in the game. But with Gareth Barry versus Schneiderlin, it's not as big as I think we all would want it to be as Liverpool fans. And like you said, I mean, I think he has the experience and a little bit of that grit and toughness. And listen, it's the Premier League. It's almost April now. So we're getting down the stretch and this is why you build a squad, right? This is the whole purpose of it, is because these things happen. And I think Everton, at least in the midfield, is actually well placed to deal with that injury.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jeff, it seems like Gay and Davies are going to be the guys that are pretty much penciled in right now. Davies, the youngster, has been playing really well for them this year. So is Gay.
I like him a lot, by the way.
I hate that I like him. I hate it. But he's like a, there's something like a little touch of class. He just has something very calm. He's very calm. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, really handles, you know, spreads the ball well, breaks things up. So, I mean,
He reminds me a little bit of Lallana, to be honest, in a way, like, because I think he doesn't have like a real, like, comfortable midfield position yet. And right. He's got like really great touch and really great control. And he's got such a motor. I mean, he's young, right? So that makes a difference. But I think he reminds me a ton of Lallana when he's at Southampton, to be honest.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see the matchup when we talk about our squad in a little bit, and how we're going to match up against them. But it seems like it's going to be Barry, Gay and Davies in that midfield. But Jeff, let's go ahead and move to their forward line, because I think it's clear that Barkley and Lukaku are going to start, and my prediction would be Morales on the other side. Hate Morales. He always seems to come up with just like scrappy goals. He knows how to score, and he sticks in a foot, and he's a little nasty, and it's, you know, in these types of games, that's what you need for them. I think Barkley's had a pretty good season come on as of late, so he's penciled in. Of course, Lukaku, you know, leading the Premier League with 21 goals right now. He's obviously their biggest threat. So out of those front three, do you see us having a problem with them?
I see us having a problem generally. It's the derby. So, of course, like whatever stats we're pulling up on, you know, our back line versus their front three, or our midfield versus theirs, certain amount of it just goes out the window because it's the derby. They're going to come in playing high intensity. Hopefully we come out right, because this is a top 10 side. We tend to perform better against them. So in terms of our back line, it appears we'll get into our players, but I think, you know, protecting the back line, it'll be likely Lovren, likely Matip, assuming Lovren's back from training. So Lovren actually had a good game for all the negativity we've had around his name on this pod this year. the 1-0 result at Goodison. He played a decent match, didn't make any errors that led to goals, for example. So I look for a decent matchup, and I think our guys will remain solid. Lukaku has yet to score at Anfield in a Everton bad shirt. So last time it was 2013, he was with West Brom. Not concerned about the front line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Chase, it's been a long time since they've beaten us, but when you look at that front three, especially the guy up top, I mean, it's just like it's a matter of time before you feel like they might nick one away. Like, Lukaku can turn the game around and just single-handedly win you games, and Barkley's been playing well, and Morales, like, that front three to me knows they've played in these types of games before. They know what it means, just like I was talking about with Barry. Especially Barkley haven't been playing for them for a while, but I mean that front three definitely scares me a little bit, especially with, I don't think we'll be playing Klavan, but if he does, he doesn't have that much pace. And then if we play Lovren, you know, I just worry about him always when he comes in. So, and that front three that they throw out there, I think is their most impressive part of their team. And I definitely would be lying if I wasn't saying I was a little bit worried about it.
No, I think so too. And I like the way you characterize Morales, and I think you're right. I think he will probably play, right? So, and I think he has a way of kind of getting his foot in. He has a lot of goals, like you said, where you're just like, you kind of watch it and you scratch your head and you wonder who got the final touch. Right. Like, it was Morales, of course, right? So I do think Everton has it in them to come to Anfield and get, get a draw, nick a goal. I think the question is whether they're going to be staunch enough in the midfield and the back line to keep us out, right? I mean, I really, really do agree with you that Everton's front three is probably the best part of their team right now, particularly with the injuries that they've sustained over the last couple of weeks. But it's just going to be it really will be a matter of whether they can keep us out at the same time. Because I just look at this, I look at these two teams, and I agree that form goes out the window, but I also think that they really don't have the personnel to, I think, keep us out for a full 90 minutes. So that's kind of what it's going to come down to, right?
Yeah, and like my mind completely changed about this game. Not that we would win, but not that we would or would not win, but just I feel a lot more confident knowing that Mori's going to be out and that Coleman's going to be out, because I just think we can really take advantage of that defense. And even Barry, I mean, yes, when they have possession, you know, he's good on the ball, but just like you said, Chase, I mean, I think, especially if Hendo's fit, and we'll go ahead and talk about our squad in just a second, if Hendo's fit and he comes in and plays Lallana's role, or even like you said, if Coutinho drops back in the midfield with Emre and Gini, I just feel like we can just pass around their midfield and like, yeah, Gay is a great tackler, but if you're doing all these one-time touch passing, just like, you know, even just Spain just showed against France, you know, and as good as Conte has been this season, like they were just passing it right around him. Now, I'm not saying Liverpool's obviously as good as the Spanish national team, but you know, if we play like that in possession where we just have, you know, especially with players like Hendo, if he comes in, Coutinho, like Gini especially, you know, we can really pass around their team and get on the break pretty quick. So let's go ahead and talk now about the Mighty Reds. And before we get into some of the matchups that we're going to be facing in all three parts of the field, Lallana picked up an injury. Obviously not good for us. Yeah, obviously not good. It is going to hurt us, no doubt. He's been playing, although he hasn't really produced in the past couple of months, he still has been playing well, and he's definitely a vital part of how we do things as a team, of how we set up and his pressing. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who comes in. I've heard a shout for, like, I've heard a shout that won't happen, but I actually wouldn't hate seeing Woodburn come in and play in that midfield role. Like, I wouldn't hate it. It is a big game for him to come in, but that's only if Hendo isn't fit. And so if Hendo is fit, I would like to see him come in. But go ahead, Jeff, and talk about the injury. Is that going to hurt us big time? You know, against Lon, I know he grew up, I think, as an Everton fan, right?
Yep.
So what's that going to be like for us? And then, you know, if Hendo's even 80% fit, would you throw him in there just for like a 65, 70 minute game just to see what we can get out of him? Or is it risky bringing him back in?
Okay. Good questions, both. So Adam Lallana in the first half, I'd be a lot more concerned about him like being out of the side in, you know, the first half of the season. He was prolific. He was scoring all of his assists, all of his goals were that. And in 2017, he hasn't produce much. Of course, the running around the field and the link-up play has always been there with him. He's got the work rate. We're going to miss that. But I think it's okay to miss him in the second half versus the first half. And to your question about Hendo, it would be nice to have him back in the side. I would prefer Jean remain in the holding role and put him out, you know, essentially in the Lattice position or maybe to left, shift Genie over. Jean's been showing a good run of form in that holding role. I want to keep him there through the end, the stretch run of the season. I don't think Hendo, he's coming back. He's been in training for multiple weeks. I just don't know if he's tuned up enough to really hold the holding role, lack of a better term.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see it, Chase. I think that Emre is locked in, and Genie being our most consistent performer this season, I think, is locked in, especially at home. And then, you know, I know this is going to go against the grain, and I know you don't, and I know you don't necessarily agree with me on this. But if Hendo's fit, I think Hendo could do a better job than Lallana in that position. I think he can press and run just as much. And yes, Lallana's way more gifted technically than Hendo, but I think Hendo could produce more in that position when he's given a little bit more freedom than just sticking in that holding role. It's not a knock on Lallana. I don't see a problem with starting Henderson in that role whatsoever. I mean, I'd rather see him start in that role than the holding role. I don't know how you feel.
No, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I mean, I think, first of all, we'll have a month to find out, right? I mean, like, as long as Lallana is out, he's certainly not going to be playing. So we'll kind of know what I think Henderson brings to that role if he's fit. I think the one thing that I would say is that, in my opinion, aside from the Mascherano, Alonso, Gerard midfield in 09, I think one of the best midfields we've had as a club since I've been a fan was down the stretch in 2014 when we played Gerard, Henderson, and Coutinho in a midfield as a three. Because I think you get a lot out of that midfield, and that you get like a holding mid, you get a runner, and then you get a really creative like number six type. And if you think about it, with Lallana out, we kind of have the ingredients for that right now. And that, you know, Chan has proven himself over the last couple of weeks to play really well in that holding role. Henderson's played that runner role before. He was the player in that 2014.
He was really, really good in 13-14 when he played that role.
He was really good. And then I think you have Coutinho playing where he was as well, which is a six. And you have Wijnaldum kind of playing in his more natural position behind two strikers in Mane and Firmino, right? And I know that Klopp doesn't prefer a diamond, but maybe we'll see shades of that this weekend. I think that the term diamond gets thrown around a lot in the sense that it has to be this like rigid formation, but like, you know, last night Brazil was playing a pseudo diamond in that Coutinho and Neymar were dropping into that 10 role repeatedly. And so, and maybe that's what we end up going with, right? And we'll really find out, like you said, what Henderson's able to provide in that runner role, which I think he was fabulous at that in 2014. Honestly, I do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I know Klopp's only played Coutinho, I think, just one game in that midfield position this year, maybe two. Obviously, because we have we don't have anyone better on the left-hand side than him right now, so it's kind of like, you know, just stick him up there for sure. But I agree with you. I think, you know, he plays a little bit better in that attacking midfield role versus like kind of a winger slash left forward type of role. And then, you know, Mane can play anywhere up front, so...
Yeah, he's in the exact same mold as Iniesta. And that's why people talk about him in Barcelona all the time, right? It's because he and Iniesta went through this in his entire career, right? Spain wanted to put him up top on the left. Barcelona for years wanted to put him up top on the left. And I think that's what Coutinho runs into in his career as well. It's not his best position though. It's simply not, like, when you watch him. And we had the same arguments for years about Iniesta, and he gets dropped in the midfield for a couple of years, and Barcelona win what, like two, three Champions Leagues in 5 or 6 years.
Tell your boy Neymar to shut the hell up, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. But that's, I mean, I think Coutinho is built in a very similar mold, and I think his best position is playing as number six, and that's where he played in 2014. Now, if we don't have better personnel, we have to kind of do with what we have and play him where we think. It's a comparative advantage question, right? And maybe his advantage on the left is better than anyone else we have, which is fine.
Right.
But it's something that we need to, I think, keep tabs on in the years that go forward, you know.
If he
stays at Liverpool.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you're...
There's no if.
Yeah. The one thing that you have to think about is that Wijnaldum's natural position is 10, right? That's where he played for Newcastle, right?
He's even played on the left before, too. Like,
yeah.
Because Rafa didn't really know where he fit in. He eventually played more in the midfield, but Rafa played him up top a couple of games, I think, too.
He did, yeah. So I think that's why, for me, you kind of like put Wijnaldum. If you're going to play a diamond, which Klopp's not, and this is all probably just like semantic hypothetical bullshit, right? But like, if you were going to play that, I think you do. I think you play Firmino and Mane up top with Wijnaldum and behind, because all of them are then kind of playing in their pseudo natural positions, right?
It'd be interesting to see Coutinho behind Wijnaldum in that sense. I don't know. I've become such a big fan of Wijnaldum, where he's playing right now, just how he breaks things up in our midfield and just recycles. It's unbelievable. It's almost just like, we love Wee Joe, but it's kind of like when he came in, we sort of thought just he might just be like a better version of what Joe Allen did. And I think that's pretty much what he's doing. And still, I think around the Premier League is still somewhat underrated. I just think he's crucial to how we do things right now. But let's go ahead and talk about our defense, because that clearly is the biggest issue that we have. Obviously penciled in that we're going to have Klein, Matip, and Milner in the starting lineup. Who would you guys have as our other center back paired up with Matip, Chase?
I know you'll hate this, Jerry, but I think probably Lovren, to be honest. I'm just gonna throw it in there. I mean, I think...
With a Seinfeld reference.
Yeah. But I think it's just personal take. You know what I mean? I think he's fine. Like, we talk about this all the time with me and you and Allie and Painter and Jeff and, you know, Luna and all these people. I don't see it with Lovren, like, how bad he is.
Yes, you do.
I think I would choose him. I think I would choose him.
You have eyes. You've seen it.
Or maybe I'm just fucking with Joey. It's tough to say.
I mean, I understand. I'll give my take in a second.
Joey has been proved right week after week for the last few weeks. So could be some of that too. What do I think? I mean, it's choosing king of the idiots at this point. So you've got second, third, fourth choice center backs. I think you have to put Lovren in this one. You have really no option. Both Lovren and Klavan are responsible for errors that led to goals, and this is an important match. Lovren gives you the slight edge and aerial ability, and I think he's got more athleticism that's going to help us in the back, especially versus Lukaku. So I hate to do it, turn my nose, but it would have to be Lovren for me.
I know, I hate this. I hate it. Isn't it? I hate it so much.
Isn't it pretty crazy how few world-class center backs we have in the Premier League? Do you guys ever think about that?
Yeah, but it's not just world-class, like, competent, dude. Lovren isn't even Lovren might have a good game because Everton might have to try and go long ball up to Lukaku and maybe have Barkley and Morales run on it if they're trying to break against us, if they find they can't pass quickly enough around us. And so Lovren, because he's probably our best or second best center back at, you know, in terms of aerial duels, he might be have a decent game. I know Klavan played really well against him last time. Everyone said he had the cock in his pocket, but Klavan's been at fault for a lot of our goals actually recently.
Yep.
It's just, and especially Klavan and Milner, like, you just, they're such a slow back left side. Like, it's just, I know Lovren's going to be playing. I know that just because that's what Klopp's going to do. I just hate how we're in this dilemma right now. I hate how we don't, whether it's Lucas, who's not a center back, or,
woo-hoo,
you know, it's just, it's so frustrating to see. Like, it's just so frustrating. When people look at Lovren and love him and praise him, like, they don't remember the types of center backs that we've had at this club. Like, we've had some elite, elite center backs at this club. And just to see, it's so frustrating to see this is what we've become. And to be honest, my main gripe with Lovren is that, you know, he gets out of position a lot. Like, I'm afraid this game, if they do go long ball, he's going to go for every single header, even if it's out of his position. He'll run up 15 yards, 20 yards when he doesn't need to and leave space in behind. And let's just say Lukaku wins a header or it goes over Lovren's head. That just leaves so much space in behind. Like, he's just not disciplined enough in that position, which is what you need. And therefore, Matip has to sit back a little bit more too and doesn't get as much freedom going forward. So it's just, there's nothing we can do about it. Like, we are in the position that we are. We know we're going to buy a center back in this next window. So it's just something we have to deal with till the end of the season. I'm just afraid that if we miss out on top four, it's because, you know, we just don't have a good enough center back pairing. And that's what sucks. I would have loved to have seen Emre back there, even though he's not a central center, like a natural center back, but he's been playing well in the holding role. It's just, this team isn't as deep as we thought it would be, and that's just something that's frustrating to see. I mean, we knew it would take Joe Gomez a long time to get back. That's the one thing that I have against Klopp too, is that he just didn't prepare well enough for, you know, even if we didn't have injuries, he just didn't prepare well enough. He didn't build a deep enough squad when he had the ability to.
I respectfully disagree. So this is his first full season with Liverpool. He came in, he had the partial last year. This is
Jeff,
his
had
first
two
full
windows
summer
to get a center back. He's had two windows to get a left back. Like,
did he have enough of a sample size with that full roster under his control,
dude,
getting his system implemented?
You look at full year of Lovren. Like, you bring in Klavan not to be your starting center back. Like, it was clear that Klavan was brought in not to be our starting center back, yet he has started over Lovren sometimes when Lovren has been healthy. That should never be the case. Like, it just shouldn't be. And I know that there's, you could say, like, there's other teams such as Arsenal who got Mustafi, and they got Mustafi yeah, and like, he was a lot of money, and but he has a little bit of Lovren in him. He's been underperforming for him recently. So like, yes, there's risks and everything. Like, Otamendi, while he played very well against us, like, he's had bad games, very bad games from this year. Stones was 50 million, and yes, he can still prove his worth, but like, he's had bad games to be able to start for them this season. So I get it. Not everyone and every top team has top center backs, but like, if you're gonna have someone who isn't that great as a physical, is not a physical specimen or something like that, it's got to be someone who can read the game well, someone who could be a step ahead in their own minds, not with their feet. And I think he leaves so much room and just causes so many errors for us that lead to goals. And especially with a keeper who's not so confident and isn't that great of a keeper, you just can't have two huge clowns kind of in the defense. And I need to stop talking, because I'll just go on.
It's fine
for way too long. And I know
this is why, like, we were so upset in the winter transfer window. We wanted a center back. They needed a center back. They didn't get one. That's unfortunate. So
yeah, and
this
Chase,
is only going to be solved at the summer.
Chase, I get where you're coming from in terms of like, he's not the worst. No, he's not the worst. It's just sad to see where this club is at right now in terms of, like, it's been so long since we've had a good center back. It's like, it's been since like Carragher and Agger. I swear it has. Like, Skrtel had one good year, but it's been so long.
It has been, but I think that this is probably the biggest, stone that you can lob at Klopp, right? Is that there's a little bit of arrogance about him in terms of the players that he chooses. And,
yes,
you know, we don't have a lot of knowledge about kind of like what goes on behind the scenes. And, you know, like, us three could talk for years about like what money was available and who do we go after and what was the politics of that situation, right? But the reality is that, and in the winter transfer window, and even to an extent in the summer transfer window, we knew that we had kind of two glaring issues. First was Mane was going to AFCON. We knew this. This was not a secret. This was not, you know, this was out there. It was on the schedule, right? It was not an injury. We knew he was going to be gone. And the other question in January was, do we have enough center backs to close out the season? And the reality is that we didn't solve either of those problems. We have Lucas playing at center back, who, I love Lucas, one of my favorite players in club history, but not a center back and not an appropriate center back for the Premier League. And we never found someone to replace Mane. And so when he left for AFCON as a squad, we lost a lot of our momentum. So I think that when you look at those two things, like, who does the buck stop with? It stops the Klopp, right? And so I do agree with you, Joey. I think that in the summer, it'll be really interesting at where he invests. And going forward, it'll be interesting to kind of watch these, what I call micro battles over the course of the season, because they're critical. This is the difference between getting top four or not.
Yeah, and Jeff, I understand your opinion as well in terms of, like, he wants to assess the squad and see where everything's at. But at the same time, like, if you're going to spend $5 million on Klavan or whatever it was, like, he was backed, right? Like, the owners, that they're backing him with money. He decided, right, not to get certain players, to whether it was just to see if they would be good or not, or just like, he brought in some players where he knew they wouldn't be starters but might be able to fill in. Even if you're bringing in a player who might not start or might only be with you for 1 year, like, Klavan could be sold next year. Spend the extra $10 million that you were given, even if this player's not going to be in your long-term plans, because yes, we know Klopp signed an extension. Yes, we know, like, he's stubborn in the sense of, like, if his player is not available, he's not going to get just another player. But if it means you have this player for just 1 to 2 seasons and you have the money to be able to spend, go and get that player. Like, it could have, I know Fonte hasn't been great for West Ham, but like, someone like that, where they're going to be around for maybe 1 to 2 seasons and they can do an adequate enough job to help you have a steady defense. That was my problem with it. I mean, anyways, Klopp's, you know, in his transfer business is definitely a pod for another time, and I'm sure we'll get into some transfer talk as the weeks come up. But before we get out of here, guys, what's going to be the key to win? What midfield defensive attacking battles do we have to win? Or what do you think is going to happen in order for us to get the W here, Jeff?
First of all, we don't have mistakes in the back that lead to goals. That's going to be one. It's going to be.
You need center backs for that, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we postulated. There's a couple. Just not our favorites. Yeah, just it's fine. Completely fine. I still reiterate, get Ashley Williams to switch kits with Lovren. Maybe that's the answer to this. So what are the keys? And Lovren, for all of our much maligning on this pod, did perform well in the 1-0 at Goodison. So I'm going to hang my hat, my code, few luggage items on that. And going forward, it's going to be about torching their back line. They're weaker, Sheamus out. You've got some inexperience back there, some slowness, and we've got incredible speed. We've got Firmino still in, who causes the most disruption, creates the most chances in the Premier League. So I want to see more of that. And Coutinho coming off of the goal in international duty for Brazil, like, I want to see him get another one in the back of the net. And I think you've got all the fundamentals. Mane's at top form. Coutinho got a little bit extra confidence from the national team duty. Then you get Firmino causing the havoc that he causes. I think it's really tough to not see at least a draw, if not an outright win at Anfield, continue the misery of Everton, because, you know, those are our advantages. It's the frontline attack. That happens to be their weakest point. I'd hang the game on that.
Yeah, let's hope so. I hope they really don't break that streak. Chase, what are we going to have to do to win, man?
I think Jeff touched on it really slightly, but Coutinho was so incredible last night in Sao Paulo. It really looked like he had kind of like found his form again. And so I'll be looking for him. He usually plays really well against Everton. He usually plays really well in matches where teams want to get their feet stuck in and really want to press the ball and that kind of thing.
Because
he's a really big game player. Yep. And he's great with the little one touches, getting in behind, playing players in behind, that kind of thing. He kind of shows up when you least expect it. And I think right now, a lot of Liverpool fans would say, I least expect it from Coutinho right now. And so I think he's a match winner. He's probably he and Mane are really the match winners that we have, in my opinion. And I expect both of them to step up big.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. I think, actually, the key in this game, while you stated a lot of them, is going to be Bobby's pressing. We all know he does it. And I think, you know, Mane and Phil, let's just say the front three is pressing, because I think with Holgate in, and I think with Jagielka in, especially because they haven't played that much this year, that we're going to press the hell out of them, and they're going to panic, and they're going to make some bad passes, or they're going to lose the ball a lot because they're just going to have to clear it a lot. So I think we'll retain or win back possession a lot easier. So I think that front three, the pressing that they're going to give their probably shaky back four right now is going to be the key. And I think we might get a quick counter off of something like that leads to a goal this game. So I do think there's going to be goals in this game, guys. It's going to be, I don't see us having a clean sheet against them, especially with the form the Cocky's in. So I need some score predictions. Jeff, what do you got?
I'm actually calling a clean sheet in this one. So unfortunately, Lukaku hasn't scored at Anfield in Everton shirt. I think that streak continues, and I think we get at least three in. I think Coutinho is responsible for one. I think, to your point about Bobby, that he intercepts one off of a counter via his pressing. He finds the back of the net, especially he is top in the Premier League for giving away big chances where he's 1v1 with the goalie to other players. So I think, especially after the Lallana miss, he might be feeling a little bit more responsibility. He's at home. He's comfortable. So I see him at least with one, and then Mane for another. He's going to torch him down the right side.
3-0. All right, Chase, what do you got?
I like 2-1. I think I give our goals to the two biggest big game players we have. I like Coutinho and Wijnaldum to come up with two goals. Ooh, I think Morales.
Wijnaldum's at home. Yep.
Yep. And I like Morales to make it interesting now.
Yeah, I'm with you on either Lukaku or Morales' goal, and I have the same score as you, 2-1. I think I've said it like the last three pods. Matip's due for a header. He's due for a header. I keep saying it.
The guy, law of averages.
The guy is due for a goal, so I'm going to say that he gets one in there. 2-1 final Liverpool score, hopefully. Either way, 3 points is just such a crucial 3 points. Like I said earlier, other teams have games in hand, but you know, if they're looking up the table and they know they have a couple games in hand, but they still see that we're gaining like points, and that puts more pressure on their game. So, I mean, crucial game. And it's definitely just to, you know, this, if we win, that just all hopes of Everton fans even thinking about fourth place are just put to bed for sure after this. So hopefully that's the outcome. Chase, I know you got you're thinking of doing a Brazil podcast. Is that right? Coming up on Football Purists?
Yeah. So we, you know, for our followers of the game last night, Brazil, first team aside from Russia to qualify from the 2018 World Cup, they've rolled off now. I think it's 8 matches in a row.
I think 9, dude. I think it's 9 matches in a row.
Yep. They look like the best team in the world. I think that they are the odds-on favorites to win in Russia. A year ago, I posted a long-form article on the demise of the Brazilian national team, so I feel like I have a lot to answer for. So Ali and I are going to sit down and talk about what I got right, what are my mea culpas, and what to expect from Brazil going forward.
I like it. And then where can people find you on Twitter?
They can find me not on Twitter. I'm exiling from social media these days. So
trying to put the phone down a little bit more.
I can't be going off online anymore. I'm married now. So
you come home from work and your attention has now 100% shifted, my friend.
You know, the other night I came home and I'd planned to play soccer, and my beautiful, lovely wife asked me if I wanted to skip soccer and instead go through our wedding photos and a cookbook that she had just bought. And I said, I'm officially married now. So,
dude, Home Depot this weekend, probably you got some more things coming up.
For Bed Bath & Beyond.
You got some, it'll be coming up. Just keep your Saturday and Sunday mornings free and you're fine. anyway, Jeff, what about you, brother? What do you got? Cafe football, obviously, right?
Yeah, so Cafe Football is going to review for all the Arsenal fans that probably aren't listening to this podcast but are part of the channel nonetheless. We're going to be looking at Wenger Revolution, which is a very hot, interesting topic when Wenger, once again, second half of the season under significant fire at the end of his contract. So look for that. That's coming in the next week or two. And you can find me on Twitter at Jeff_Hallett, 2 L's and 2 T's.
Right on, you guys. Everyone can go to our website, footballpurists.com. You can find us on Twitter at TalkOnFP. Find me at Twitter at JVishny. And appreciate you all for listening. Send in any questions that you want to answer for us after this win as well. And we'll get that out there and we'll try to answer all of them. So, gentlemen, thanks for getting on. As always, talk on.